Now presenting Inuyasha One Half. What's Inuyasha One Half? Well, Rumiko Takahashi's stories recycle many elements, and Viz used the same voice actors for both Ramna and Inuyasha. So we here at Asia Radio thought, what if they were the same show? What follows is our interpretation.
Hey, there's the bad guy of the week!
Ha ha ha, yes indeed, I am the baddie of the week. More powerful than those you have fought before, but not as powerful as the ones that will come in the week hereafter.
Well, I want to take you down even though you're stronger than me.
You cannot possibly defeat me, for I am stronger than you in hundreds of ways you could only imagine in your deepest secret fantasy.
Oh yeah, I think this, and this, and this.
Ha 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 ha.
Here, I'll help take him down.
Oh wow, Akane, you're really doing well. I'm surprised you're not running away.
Well, you know, being a non-horse in this portion of his story is a real advantage.
And you're not being kidnapped.
Well, you know, I will next week. I'll make up for it.
Oh, I'm tired of your trite ramblings. Take my most powerful attack, which will surely leave me drained for the next time we have an encounter. Oh!
Oh no, it looks like both girls have got a bit of an injury that I need to attend. Hey, Sango, do you need a bit of a help? It looks like...
Ow! He did my spatchet! I mean, boomerang!
I'm sorry, it just seemed that your buttocks was rather bruised. Oh, ow!
Stop it! Stop it!
Well, Akane will let me attend her bosom. It looks very damaged indeed. Oh, yes. I'm sorry, it's just, ever since my don't be a pervert gene was taken out, it's really affected me.
Everybody, I have something very important to tell you.
What's that?
Well, the bad guy of the week, you must go and defeat him, Master Inuyasha. Apparently, he's becoming increasingly stronger, and as we all know, that means you'll be able to defeat him now.
Thanks, little half-a-fly.
Elsewhere...
Oh, I have very bad news, pretty boy Steve.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
Indeed, your brother is going and he's fighting against a horrible demon that your father sealed away many years ago.
Oh boy, we need to really fix this one, you know.
Yes, I recommend that we hurry up as he is filling the souls of the many.
Well, not tonight, you know, my hair and all, it needs to be done.
But he's killing and destroying the world!
My nightly hair conditioning needs to be done tonight.
I'm sorry to question you, Master.
Elsewhere.
All right, come on, everybody. We need to get going. Maybe we can go and ask Koala if she can give us a ride.
Okay, Koala, we can go on you.
Now our group goes to fight the mighty and evil baddie of the week. Inuyasha ponders to himself, boy, this is really a whacked-up universe to be in.
Oh, man, this is a really whacked-up universe to be in.
I see you have come back to fight me once again, Inuyasha, but my powers excel to 1,000 times what it once was.
I can still beat you! I beat everyone within a half hour!
Damn you and your infernal episodic logic! But you cannot defeat me, for I have the sword of 1,000 souls!
Whoa!
Ah! Wait, Inuyasha, I think I have a plan that just might work. It's highly unlikely, but it's sure to succeed. What you need to do is jump above his head, and everything will go according to the plan. Just trust me.
All right.
What are you doing above my head, you half-breed?
All right, ready?
Sit, boy!
No, not sit!
You see, Inuyasha, the plan was very simple. By saying sit, I propelled you through like some sort of silver bullet, thus slaying the demon.
Oh, I see. Why didn't I think of that?
Well, it was highly unlikely, but surely it has succeeded. Would you like to wash up? You did come out of the rough end of things.
Oh boy, I did.
The end. Or is it? You see, whenever Inuyasha is called sit, boy, not only does he sit, but he's transformed into a human. But that's not the only transformation. Now our dear friend Pervert Ryoga has turned into a woman. Oh, the treachery of being a lecherous man during the full moon, but a detective during the regular times. And what is this? Yukio has reverted to a strange woman by the name of Sango. What will happen in next week's episode of Inuyasha One Half? the same thing as this week, but we guarantee it'll be a lot of action and unexpected results when the highly unlikely but should succeed plan destroys the even more powerful baddie of the week. Same Inuyasha time, same Inuyasha channel, same Rumiko authoring style.
There's clever engineers.
But yeah.
Time for ASO Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to ASO Radio, episode 59. That's right, season 5, episode 7?
Yeah.
7 of ASO Radio. This, of course, is NZ17.
And DB3.
Coming to you live, pre-recorded and edited. Today we have a special guest member. Yes, we're having a live audience of one. And she will be providing clapping, commenting, cheering, and general quietness as we record our show. Anyways, we have a bang-up show lined up for you this week. Wasn't able to get a show out to you last time, bit of scheduling problems, but we're making it up to you this week by presenting not one, but two different anime reviews. DB3, fill them in on what we'll be doing today.
We'll be reviewing Inuyasha.
The movie.
The movie. And Love Hina again.
Yes, the first Inuyasha movie to be released here in America, and I believe that's because it's the first chronologically of the Inuyasha movies. It's called Affections Touching Across Time. Not only are we going to be having two anime reviews, but we're also going to be doing a fun little feature in the hotspot. Right now, we're spinning our roulette table to figure out whether we're going to do a review of Sonic Heroes or if we're going to do our first ever Raven Rant. And we'll get that, of course, at the appropriate time in the show. And until then, I want to keep you all in suspense.
And now it's time for the Any O'Clock Anime News.
Okay, so now we've got a bit of the old newsorama doing up. Take this first one for us, DB3.
The first one's about My Neighbor Totoro.
The Animanga.
This is announced the upcoming release of My Neighbor Totoro Animanga. And for you who don't know what an Animanga is, it's an anime film comic using images from the film for art. Sort of like Tokyo's Pop Cinema Manga. And this first volume will be released on November 8th.
Yes, it's kind of, I'm torn on these Cinemanga, Animanga things. You know, they take clips from the original anime, splice in the word balloons, and more or less make a manga out of it. And while on one hand it's kind of cool, it's really, really useless if you've seen the anime that it was originally from. And speaking of Totoro, do we have a chair for all you otaku out there? Yes, apparently, YesAsia.com is selling a $1,300 Totoro reclining chair. Yes, shaped just like the lovable spirit from My Neighbor Totoro, this chair both has a sitting and relaxed reclined position and can be your fuzzy-wuzzy recliner for only $1,300. But if you pre-order now, you can get it for only $1,170. And while that's a big savings, that's still an expensive chair.
Okay, I have some advice. Instead of spending that much on the chair, I can paint a chair with the colors of Totoro, and you can send that much money to ASO Radio.
Yeah, see? Just get a beige chair, paint a little black spots on it, put some pointy ears on the back, and there you go. But, alright, some Cartoon Network announcements here. Apparently, Bandai is saying that their new 26-episode series called DICE, and I have no idea what D-I-C-E stands for, is going to begin airing on Cartoon Network January. Apparently, it is aimed at 12-year-old boys, and it's the first anime produced by Bandai Entertainment, and it was animated by Zybek.
Kind of thing is, though, I doubt I will personally be watching this. There's three telltale signs that are saying, do not watch this anime. Number one is going to be on the Cartoon Network. Now, I don't mean to insult the Cartoon Network being the biggest purveyor of anime on the television airwaves, but they generally aren't too picky about what they show. As long as there's some sort of toy tie-in, they're more or less happy to show it. Second, it's being produced by Bandai. And Bandai used to have the slogan, Action Satisfaction, and they made all of the Power Rangers and Power Ranger knockoffs. And last of all, this is being targeted for 6 to 11-year-old boys. Now, tell me crazy, not much character development going to be happening. And speaking of anime that drive me crazy, DB3, please tell us about our newest Ghost in the Shell anime.
The Standalone Complex premieres tomorrow. Well, actually, that would be
the 12th. It premiered this past Saturday. Yeah.
And it was expected to air back in October 2003. And it's going to get...
It's called Standalone Complex.
It's going to get its long-awaited premiere on Cartoon Network,
which was November 6th. Now, I saw this, and I also saw Full Metal Alchemist, which also premiered on Saturday right before Ghost in the Shell. And the thing is that Full Metal Alchemist, very enjoyable show, it's kind of a list of feeling like, what's that called now? That's the Stampede, what's that called?
Trigun.
Trigun, yes. It has a feeling very similar to Trigun. Very interesting concept. Apparently they're not like magicians or wizards, they're alchemists. But even though they continually assert their scientific basis, people, no one's going to do alchemy by drawing a circle and all of a sudden restore a clock. It's magic, okay? They're just writing it off as alchemy for a twist. But the show is enjoyable. Like I said, very similar feeling to Trigun. However, Standalone Complex, first I was like, whoa, what's this crazy long CG thing they're showing on Cartoon Network? And then I realized it was the opening to Standalone Complex, which is a 2D anime about Ghost in the Shell. I'm not sure if it's telling the manga, because the movie was just kind of a short, you know, take of the manga. So I'm not sure if this is supposed to be retelling the whole manga or not, but I didn't enjoy the Ghost in the Shell movie, and I don't enjoy the anime. I doubt I'd enjoy the manga, so I'm not a good person to ask about my opinion on this. I mean, I didn't like Akira either, and those are supposed to be great staples of anime, but forget them, in my opinion. And speaking of crazy crap, and speaking of linking news stories together, both Benihana and Nike are running anime ads, and they're driving me crazy! Okay, Benihana's got two ads going out. One spooks Kill Bill, and the other is just, I don't know, crazy crap. And Nike's airing one that's featuring LeBron James, and Studio 4 Degrees Celsius did that one. And it's just, people, come on now. If you're trying to sell shoes, or you're trying to sell food, and you have an ad done up like it's some sort of anime, regular people are going to go, what the hell is that crap? And a normal otaku are going to go, what rip-off artist, you know? And they're going to just get disgusted by the ads. So my advice to Benihana and Nike, chill out with the anime ads, because no one's liking them. BB3, would you take this next one?
This is about Mew Mew Power. For Kids Entertainment website states, this action-packed series is expected to premiere on 4 Kids Entertainment Foxbox in the year 2005.
Now, Mew Mew Power is a title that leads me to believe, number one, it's going to involve cats somehow. Very obvious, I mean, but number two, pretty much going to be aimed at girl viewers. So this one actually might be worth watching as far as kids' anime series go. Now, I'm all for big-name actors being in anime, not because they do a better job than the voice actors. In my opinion, voice actors do a better job than standard Hollywood actors when it comes to anime anyways. Mark Hamill, for example, he's been dubbing various shows and video games for years.
Yeah.
But we welcome a new Star Wars member to the cast of our favorite anime voice actors. Apparently, Peter Mayhew is going to be voicing Susa as in the new Dragon Ball GT film, A Hero's Legacy. Peter Mayhew, many of you may recall, not so much from seeing his face, but from seeing his fur, as he played Chewbacca in Star Wars. Now, first of all, yes, I realize that it was not his fur that he was in a suit, but it would be funny if he was that hairy. I can only imagine, though, that his wide range of emotional acting that was portrayed in Star Wars will have an even greater encompassing effect when it comes to the Dragon Ball GT movie, because as we all know, Dragon Ball is renowned for its strong emotional impact. All right. Oh, and the hits just keep on coming, as we have a very important movie that we're going to announce on this show.
The
Variety, yes.
Variety reports that Tom DeSanto, the one who, the executive producer of X-Men, wrote the story for the upcoming Transformers live-action movie.
Yes, live-action Transformers movie.
And that John Rogers, writer for Catwoman, will be adapting the story into screenplay.
Because that Catwoman movie with its lesbian overtones and deleted scenes of which really goes and makes me think, Transformers written by the same screenwriter. That's going to be a winner.
The movie due out in summer of 2006 is being jointly produced by DreamWorks and Paramount under the executive production of Steven Spielberg. At least that gives it a little bit of something.
Yeah, I guess it gives us sort of credit. Paramount, DreamWorks, Steven Spielberg overseeing it. But I think it's still going to be crap.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on the subject of more fan-orientated news, there's going to be a new exhibit in Los Angeles called Starring As. What it is photographic portraits of costumed anime fans, cosplayers, as taken by Brian Kahn at various conventions. This is going to be in the Perfect Exposure Gallery in Los Angeles. That's 3513 West 6th Street for those living in the area. The gallery is going to be open Tuesday through Saturday from 11 to 4 p.m. And the exhibit will be ending on November 26th. Basically, to recap what this is all about, is it says from the official press release, shot at Japanese animation conventions around the United States and Canada in 2003 and 4, Starring As is a series of photographic portraits of cosplay fans, the theatrical and flamboyant branch of the family tree of otaku. I'm saying these things the way I am because they're all in quotes. Anyways, otaku, the ones who design, construct, and self-model their homemade costumes and props in homage to their favorite anime, comic, video game, and Japanese rock band characters. Of course, this is taking a bit of a more mature description than the newspaper would, for example. The newspaper would probably open with, big guns, giant robots, sexy kittens, and violence. No, you're not going to see this at this art gallery featuring fans, blah, 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 blah. So, of course, the museum, since it's willing to do this as an art exhibit, is going to play this up a bit nicer than your average newspaper proletariat is. Anyways, the artist states, as a photographer, what's wrong with this picture is a question I am forever asking myself as I compose through the viewfinder or struggle with creative choices in trying to find a good print. Given a strong emphasis on costume, fancy word, versatility, and that the recognition and celebration of an especially faithful character costume is undoubtedly a triumphant moment. I've seen for myself how shouts of Great Zell Goddess or Awesome T across the convention center lobby can elicit a grateful smile and help validate those long hours put into costume design. It is possible that some anime purists may well gaze at my somewhat less than photorealistic portraits and ask, what's wrong with this picture? The answer is, nothing. I'm a fruity artist and I like going and making things look wacky for art's sake. Oh, sorry, I went off on a tangent there. He said, nothing, it's merely my art added to your art. My vision merely a variation on a theme of the wearable art of the otaku. Tell us a bit about this artist, EV3. My voice is getting a bit hoarse.
Brian Kahn is a Brooklyn-born photojournalist whose Diane artist inspired interest in American subcultures has led him to photographic gatherings of Elvis impersonators, big game hunters, medieval reenactors, nude bowlers, square dancers, junior and senior rodeos, twins, street preachers, burlesque performers, drag kings, drag queens. You don't hear about those very often.
Yeah, I might have to look at that gallery.
Women's professional football, pure religious, cultural, and ethics festivals of every stripe around the United States. He currently shoots for the photo agency World Picture News.
And I guess if you wish further information, that can be found at theperfectexposure.com. Also, I think this is our last or second to last bit of news here. We've got a bit of a book release to mention. I mentioned this book release because we generally don't get many anime books published, you know, monthly. So it's worth noting, although I didn't enjoy the original. Anyway, Stonebridge has announced Anime Companion 2, subtitled What More What's in Japanese Animation, a follow-up to the original written by Gillis Portress. The 176-page Anime Companion 2 is expected to be available June 2005 for $18.95. Recently, Stonebridge published Watching Anime Reading Manga, collection of essays and articles by Fred Patton, and a new compiled release of the Mobile Suit Gundam novels. I'd probably recommend getting the Watching Anime Reading Manga over this, as it probably is more interesting with its essays than the Anime Companion. If you haven't been watching anime very long, then the Anime Companion books are probably a good thing to pick up, but otherwise, you've already known this if you watch, we'll say, between 10 and 20 anime. Yeah. You've got most of it down. Anyways, this long-awaited companion volume boasts over 500 all-new glossary-style entries to help one decipher anime's distinctive content images and cultural motifs, ranging from Aikido to Zero Fighters, with Japanese mountain vegetables in between. Gillis Portress conveys the minutiae of anime in fascinating detail, including illustrations, anime images, film citations, and numerous references to the related art of manga. More than a guide, apparently, The Anime Companion 2 is a pop survey of Japanese art, kits, history, food, and daily life. Now with entries in kanji and English, that definitely gives a bit of credit.
Yeah.
The Anime Companion remains the best friend of an otaku ever had, and a fun way for the non-otaku to learn about Japan. Take this last one and see us on out of the news, DB3.
All right. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences has announced that 11 animated films are eligible for the Best Animated Features Oscar at the 2004 Awards. Oh boy, you're all going to love which ones they've picked. Among the 11 films is the production of Ghost in the Shell 2, Innocence. Innocence, they say, is the only Japanese animation to be deemed eligible, but two well-known Asian animators were also given the nod, The Legend of Buddha from India and the Korean anime feature Sky Blue, also known as Wonderful Days. And, well, I'm just not too excited about any of those anime they've announced. The other eligible titles include, like, The Incredibles, Shrek, Shark Tale, Home on the Range, Teacher's Pet, Polar Express, and here's probably one of my favorite ones, the SpongeBob SquarePants movie. Oh, wait, never mind. And Clifford's Really Big Movie.
Really big, man. Yeah, I think more or less the award's guaranteed to go to The Incredibles. But I don't know that the Polar Express might give it a bit of a run for its money, but if Pixar's past performances have been any indicator, I'm sure they're going to take the Oscar this year. Which is kind of funny because one of Pixar's big inspirations is Hayao Miyazaki, who, you know, did Princess Mononoke, My Neighbor Totoro, Kiki's Delivery Service, among several others. And it's funny because I was watching a special on one of the Pixar DVDs, and they were saying that when they got frustrated, everybody, just their creative juices weren't flowing, they take a company-wide break, all go to their private screening room, and watch a Miyazaki film. They'd watch Castle in the Sky or Lupin, Castle of Callisto, something to relax them, get them all enjoying in a nice mood that the Miyazaki films elicit, and get their creative juices once again flowing like a proverbial fountain. And so, really, I think Pixar is going to take this, if not in anime, then definitely a company that knows good film when it sees it.
Yeah.
Past winners that have won the animated feature Oscar include Finding Nemo for 2003, Shrek in 2001, and our very own Spirited Away by Hayao Miyazaki in 2002. Anyways, we'd like to give a shout-out. Thanks to the Anime News Network for once again providing us the news for the show and for, of course, providing it on the ASO Radio main page. And now it is time we go on to the anime review.
It's not a new view, it's not a preview, it's a review. Anime review.
Wow! thank you. Time for anime reviews. DB3, I'll leave it up to you. Which shall we review first?
Let's go with Inuyasha the movie.
Ah, yes, Inuyasha the movie. A pinnacle of anime goodness this movie was. That's how a review would open for a different title, not this particular movie. Inuyasha, while respectable enough, I suppose, especially if considered part of the Inuyasha series, which is, like most, well, not most, but a lot of anime movies, doesn't take place outside of the television series. Unfortunately, this is, a bit of a spoiler here, ain't going to give it a top recommendation. But it's not a horrible, horrible film. It actually picks up in the latter half. But anyways, very interesting show. To briefly summarize the review I'll be giving of it, it's like your standard Inuyasha television episode, which is a half hour, drawn out to be 100 minutes long. So, yeah, we'll get to that in a moment, though. DB3, would you like to recap what the basic story is, or shall I take the plate?
Well, I'll start off, since I won't have to talk that much, because I wasn't in there for it all.
Very true.
But they're looking for the shards. One of the shards lands on a demon. How does it get to him?
Actually, the guy, I don't think that he has a shard. I think he comes across them as they're fighting a demon had a dual shard.
Oh, yeah. And, well, he gets the shard. And it turns out he's like his father's greatest enemy, and he's been holding back and waiting to build his army and get strong. And it's up to Inuyasha and his friends to put an end to his miserableness and his evilness. And they try, and he beats them pretty good.
Yeah, very soundly spanks a lot.
Yeah. And what's the girl's name?
Kagome.
Yeah, Kagome gets sent back into her own time, and it's quite humorous how things change.
Yeah, we'll get to that later, but so basic rundown is they're fighting an enemy with one of those Xion Jewel Shards, or whatever they're called, and then it says, like, oh, I'm the great big bad guy, because you see, I am the son of the demon that your father defeated so long ago, that you're always trying to be as powerful as Inuyasha, and you shall surely never defeat me, because you're only a half-demon, and once I ascend to become the full power of my father, even then you will not be able to defeat me, more so, because, you know, well, be more powerful, I guess. And so then he's like, oh yeah, well I'm conscious Inuyasha, and I'll try to take you down anyways. And he's like, ah, because he's Inuyasha and he's a dumbass that way. And so then they go, and they're like, blah, 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 and they all screw around, and then there's this fight between Inuyasha and Kagome. He's like, oh, Kagome, you're in danger, go back in your own time. She's like, no, I don't want to, and then she gets possessed, and she shoots him, because, I don't know, this guy has two helpers that, I don't know, he spawned from himself, or their other demons or something. And he tricks Inuyasha into going and releasing the seal that Inuyasha's father had put on the demon's father, and that releases the power, and he's going to inherit the power after he sucks up, like, all the souls of the people. And so then Inuyasha and all them get thoroughly trumped by him, and then Inuyasha and them fight his two assistant helpers, and they go and possess Sango's Kalala, yeah, the cat demon, and then she's fighting with them, and of course this makes Sango all sad, and so then, you know, more or less the middle part of the movie is everybody's being sad and feeling depressed because they weren't able to defeat the demon, and then, I don't want to spoil too much of it because there's, well, not much to spoil, so I don't want to say everything, but eventually, they get out of their slump, they all get back into their old selves, and then they go and they put the smack down on the demon. So more or less your standard Inuyasha plot going on here. Like I said, it's kind of like watching a half-hour episode of the show, but expanded out. But what's kind of strange is even though it seems the same team worked on both the television series and the movie, the art style, like the character drawings that they were using for the models for the scenes, they were a bit differently drawn.
A different feel to it all.
Yeah, I don't know if they had somebody different drawing it, or the person was just in a different frame of mind when he did the character models for the movie, But it's just kind of like their faces were, I don't know, more round, maybe.
Yeah.
Also, the movie was kind of weird because it combined CG with traditional animation in a lot of spots, and it wasn't exactly smooth. I mean, it was really easy to tell what was computer-generated and what was just regular anime, you know, 2D. Well, I mean, that's computer animated too these days, but it was really easy to tell the 2D from the 3D. They didn't really make much effort to integrate them. The music was generally pretty good in this. Sound effects appropriate for the most part. Some sound effects sounded like they were recorded originally for the movie, but nothing really sticks out from this show. For longtime fans of the television show, the opening is different than from the television show, which is both, you know, a good thing and a bad thing, because we're not listening to the same music over and over again, but also you get used to the original, and then you're like, oh, well, that's not as good as the original. But all in all, it's a pretty enjoyable little thing for 100 minutes, though it was a bit long. It could have really benefited from only being maybe an hour, 50 minutes long. So it really kind of got drug out, but it did pick up there towards the end. What do you rate this, DB3?
I'd probably rate it just normal.
Just the regular recommendation. Yeah. For a while, I was going with a neutral, because I really kind of, I wanted to enjoy it, but it was just dragging on, and people that weren't familiar with Inuyasha probably wouldn't be that interested, which I should mention for those people that this is their first Inuyasha that they view. The opening, like many anime movies, recaps the characters and their motivations and abilities and whatnot. But then it picked up in the last 20 minutes or so of the show, and so it makes me go and lean towards giving this a recommended, probably more of a neutral if you haven't seen the show before, but yeah, this gets a recommended. Anyways, enough about Inuyasha the movie, or rather the Inuyasha, the 100-minute long episode. It's now time to review Lavina again. DB3, would you once again break down the plot line for us all?
Alright, in Love Hina again, we have the great people living in the... What apartments are they living in?
The Hinata apartment.
Yeah, the Hinata apartment. And Kitaro's sister comes along and...
What was her name again?
Very good
question, isn't it?
Like Kitaro's sister comes...
Kitaro's sister.
And she has like a crush on him and she's...
Her name also starts with a K.
I couldn't tell you.
Kanako.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think it's Kanako.
Well, even if it's not, we can call her Kanako.
Yeah, there you go.
So Kanako's there, and she has, like, a crush thing on Kitaro, and...
Yeah, we should go back a little. Yes, they are brother and sister, but they're brother and sister by law. There's no blood shared. And so she's always thought of her brother as being more of a long-time childhood friend, and so she starts to have emotional feelings towards him in the romantic persuasion.
And she goes through the whole thing trying to get all the other girls mad at Kitaro and get them to leave the apartment so she could have her brother to herself.
Yes, years ago they made a promise to each other that when they get older they would run the inn together. And she misinterpreted this to mean that they would run the inn together as husband and wife, when Kitaro was just making a childhood promise saying, oh, well, you know, when our grandma dies and we inherit the Hinata apartments, then we'd run it together, not so much as husband and wife, but, you know, as in I'd be charged finances, you'd be in charge of running it,
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. But, unfortunately for Kitaro, who is in love with Naru, they end up making, Kanako and Kitaro end up making a promise in the Forbidden Annex, that they would go and be together forever. Mm-hmm. The annex, of course, being used for going and filling promises of love. Kanako has tricked him into doing that there, and thus the magic of the annex is going and opposing all efforts by the other girls.
Yep. One thing I liked about Kanako is how she was like a master of disguise. Like,
yeah, it's very interesting, although after a while it kind of gets on your nerves. You're like, alright, this isn't going to be the character, it's going to be Kanako. I also liked her cat a lot. Wish the cat got a little more air time. The cat can talk, is it?
And can fly.
Talk and fly, yes. And it's kind of... Love Hina again's interesting because there was the television series, very good series. Then comes along the Christmas and spring movies. The Christmas movie, really good. One associate of mine said, it really could have ended right there.
Yeah.
You've seen the movie.
Yeah.
Where they kiss in Times Square, is it? Or not,
yeah.
Times Square, but the equivalent of Times,
yeah.
Square. And then they go and they're like, oh, but not really. You know, I didn't really mean that kiss, Gaetaro. And then they do the spring special, which had more or less no point. And then, so Love Hina again kind of provides a good stopping place for the series in a way. The art style of it is much closer to the manga than the anime. So if you're going in watching Love Hina again, expect the art style to be a bit different. A lot more risque sort of things to it. All in all, it's a pretty enjoyable little show.
Yeah.
I mean, it does have its, you know, downsides. A lot of people get creeped out by Kanako wanting to be with her brother like she is, but in her mind, of course, there's nothing,
yeah.
wrong with it. And I suppose on technicalities, there isn't anything wrong with it. But still, you know, it's not exactly socially acceptable. But that's more or less a rundown of things. Keitaro then wants to go and break this, you know, promise, and voodoo happens. And so in the end, everybody ends up being more or less happy and on good speaking terms. Nice part about this OAV is they could have just directly adapted the manga's telling of this. But what they did is they went and they brought in a lot of characters from the series, you know, give them one last moment of screen time. They worked in Kentaro. They worked in Naru's sister. They worked in... Did they have Motoko's family in it, too?
I couldn't say, I don't remember.
I don't think they had Koala Sue's brother or sister show,
no.
But they worked in a lot of secondary characters, including Keitaro's friend. And so that really helped kind of give you a nice wrapped everything up sort of feeling. I'm going to have to give this a recommended. It's not as strong as the television series. It's more like the spring movie. It's kind of like they're going, oh, well, Love Hina, it's made so much money, we're just going to have to keep milking this cash cow for all the pennies we can. And so, spring, and again, they're kind of weak compared to the rest. So I'm giving this a recommended.
I'll give it a recommended if you haven't seen the Love Hina series. But if you have, I'll probably give it a highly recommend, because it sort of closes down on things, settles things in your mind. But overall, a recommended.
And if you want to see the true 300 ending to the Love Hina saga, you need to read the 13th and 14th volume of the manga, because that's a couple more things. Love Hina, again, more or less happens in the 12th volume of the manga, and then 13 and 14 are stuff that happens 4 years after that, including, like, there's a wedding, I think, or a wedding being planned. Catches up on what all the characters have been up to in the interim time. Kind of interesting. The manga, though, the characters aren't nearly as strong. So take that as a bit of warning if you do decide to go and see the manga. So from DB3 and NZ17, it's a recommended / highly recommended anime.
Fan mail.
Welcome to our fan mail portion of the show. It seems sadly, however, we don't have any fan mail this episode. Now, one might go and pin the blame on me for not having a fan mail submission form up already, but you know how that is. So this week, we're going to turn to our audience to take questions and to question the audience back. Yeah, because we never get a question from the audience.
That's true.
The fan mail just comes and we answer it.
We never get that. Ask the fans.
Yeah, well, you know, the fans would write back every now and again, but still, it's not dynamic. It's not live, you know.
It's not interactive.
Yes. Although, one day, we are going to have an episode, a live call-in episode, where people will actually get to call in over the phone and ask us questions and such. It's going to be very interesting. So, today, in our audience, we have the lovely Natalie. And she will, and we will, be asking each other questions. So, Natalie, what have you thought of the show so far?
Exactly. No, I thought it was good.
So, what do you like? What don't you like? What do you think of my hair?
Yeah, I think you talk too much.
Oh, I do. I know.
Yeah. For sure. No, I like it.
Well, back in the day...
Do you like his hair?
Oh, yeah. Can I touch it?
If you want.
Ooh.
Yes, it's very funny feeling.
It's very soft.
Ah, well, thank you. I don't use much conditioner, so... But yes, we used to have a wonderful co-host on the show by the name of T-Man777. And he and I have very good rapport. But unfortunately, he has moved on to more academic pastures, and he is now studying abroad in Salt Lake City.
He should send in fan mail.
You know, he should send in fan mail, my slacker. I tell you, if you can't be on the show, send in the fan mail. If we can't have the fortune, we at least want the fame.
Yeah.
All right, well, okay, you've been enjoying the show. What did you think of our review of Inuyasha and Love Hina again?
I thought they were good. I thought they were interesting. And I haven't seen either one of the shows, so it makes me want to see the shows.
Ah, so our reviews helped you form an opinion of what you do and don't want to see?
Yes.
Are you going to be picking both of those up eventually?
Yes, I'm going to be borrowing them from you.
Ah, yes, well, what a way to go and get more money than you do with our publishers. All right, well, and of course, we're going to be doing a hotspot next. Now, hotspot's a very interesting spot. We go ahead and we kind of spin our roulette wheel, decide what we're going to do, all sorts of features. We'll get to that in a moment, of course. The anticipation is building. But let's go ahead and ask you some questions, then.
Okay.
First of all, what are some of your favorite anime that you have seen?
Our fans deserve to know.
Yes, our fans deserve to know what other fans like to watch.
You know what? I am very, very new at this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just barely getting into it, but my favorites right now are Vice Parades and Fruits Basket.
And tell us more about the first one, then.
The first one?
Vice Parades.
Vice Parades is about four assassins who go out at night and kill people.
Good thing for an assassin to do.
Yeah. Good character development. Terrible animation in the first series. Really bad animation. Very good characters, though.
What decade did it come out in?
I'm not sure.
Was it like 80s sort of thing?
Probably.
Nah.
But they just put out Bluehin, which is the second series.
Right.
And the animation is much better.
Oh, well, that's certainly a good thing to hear. These days, instead of in the past, just about mid-90s, I'd say, they've switched over where more or less all anime is now computer-generated. Mm-hmm. And this allows a much higher quality animation on a smaller budget. So I'm sure, in part, that's what led to this.
You know, with you liking Fruits Basket, you should listen to our last episode where we reviewed it.
Yes,
oh, really?
Yes, episode 58, we actually reviewed Fruits Basket in its entirety. Gave it mad props, I do believe. Toru, of course, very likable character.
Toru.
The girl.
Yeah.
Not the only girl, of course.
I don't even remember.
Well, you know, we review so many anime, they all start to meld together after a while. And, of course, you know, you don't hear Japanese names every day, so they can kind of, you forget them at times, you know. But DB3, since our audience... is fairly new to anime, and thus provides a good perspective for new fans listening to the show. What anime would you recommend people view that is readily available at most video retailers?
I'd probably have to go with Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Very good series, very good.
And any Miyazaki.
Yes, Miyazaki, also a very good one. If you happen to see Escaflowne, not as popular in video rental stores as you'd think, definitely get Escaflowne. Skip the movie A Girl in Gaia. That's horrible. Also, I'd like to recommend Vampire Hunter D, either one of the two, for people that are into sort of dark gothic sort of thing.
You know, I didn't so much like the second one, Bloodlust.
Yeah, I didn't care much for Bloodlust either, but if that's the only one you can pick up, see that one first, so you're not as disappointed. It has better animation, but it's not really as good.
Yeah.
Fatal Fury the Motion Picture, of course, that's highly recommended.
Everyone says Ghost in the Shell is good, but...
If you like that sort of thing, you like that sort of thing. Akira, that's in a lot of places.
Yeah, I just got that one. I have not watched all of it yet. I'm watching it in portions because I can't take it.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a hard time with that one.
The only time I tried watching Akira is a recording that T-Man had made off of the Sci-Fi Channel, I believe it was. Every 5 minutes, there was like a 4-minute-long commercial break. And so after half an hour, I said, you know what, forget all this crap. Too many commercials. Don't make any sense. They're editing it all. It's just crazy, man. It's like the manga that it's based off of. It's like 2,000 pages.
Wow.
And so they do this movie that's only like 2 hours. A little bit lost in translation. Just a tiny bit, though, I imagine. But yeah, what else is really good?
That you can readily get? That's a good question. I can't think of much.
That that Millennium actress, that's pretty good, won a couple of awards. Oh, well, let's move on to the next question.
All right.
Do you have a question, DB3, for our audience?
What was the first anime you've ever seen?
First anime I've ever seen. Actually, I think that would be Escaflowne, A Girl in Gaia.
Ah, yes. Very talented movie to start off with.
I thought it was pretty, though.
Well,
it was really pretty.
I don't like the art style in A Girl in Gaia as much as I liked it in the television show.
I've never seen the series.
Well then, are you looking for a treat? Because just recently, the Escaflowne box set has been re-released. This box set contains all of the episodes of both seasons of Escaflowne and the movie A Girl in Gaia for only $70.
Really?
Wow. Very decent deal indeed. And I'm personally going to be picking this up as a Christmas present.
To yourself.
No, not to you or to myself. For a family member, because as some of you listeners may recall, Escaflowne was briefly aired on Fox for I think a total of 4 or 5 episodes. But the thing is when you edit an anime and then air it Saturday mornings on Fox, there's not much of its target demographic of male and female teenagers watching at that time. Yeah, really kind of killed its ratings, especially changing all the music. So I'm going to be picking this up so we can finally see all that happens in Escaflowne. So now let's turn the tables, my dear audience. Do you have any questions for DB3 or I about the show or past episodes or in general what's going on here?
No.
No pressure.
No pressure. Actually, what would you rank as like your favorite anime, like top 3?
Oh, so I'm glad you asked that question, because thankfully, I don't have to answer it anymore. I finally got the anime reviews ratings up on the website. Using this now, you can set them not only by title, but by rating, so you can find out what my favorite were. But off the top of my head, I have to say that my favorite anime would include Oh My Goddess, very touching OAV series. DB3 actually owns both volumes of that. Spirited Away, very good anime. Millennium Actress, like I recommended before, that's a very good one. Kind of keeps you on your toes. Don't watch it at night, though, because there's a lot of thinking. But you got to pay attention, because it keeps slipping between her memories of her past and memories of the movies. They meld together. Very interesting. Old actress is telling about her life story. And let's see, what else? A lot of people like Princess Mononoke, but its appeal wears off after a couple of viewings. Action anime, I'd have to say Fatal Fury is probably in the top of the action anime. There's a couple of others out there. None immediately spring to mind. I really enjoyed Battle Angel. That's a really good one. But yeah, there's not a ton that I like because you see so much that most of it falls into the pit of mediocrity. Some of it, you know, pretty good, but, you know, that's up to the individual things. But as far as DB3, me, and the other hosts go, more or less universally, anything done by Miyazaki, that's really well received. I didn't care much for Clashful of Callistro when I first saw it, but I'm going to have to go back and see that again. The rights to that are certainly going to fall back to Disney here soon. They'll probably release a new dub, so I'll probably catch it then.
Yeah.
What about you, DB3? What's some of your top anime?
My top anime would probably include, like...
Let's go to the review archive!
You know, what springs to mind is not so much the ones I like, but the ones I dislike.
Well, that's easier.
But the ones I like would have to include... I like the first volume of Those Who Hunt Elves. The first volume is pretty good. The second volume of the first season is not as good, but I like the first volume. Oh My Goddess is really good. I own it. Evangelion is always one I like. Great comic moments.
But with a deep plot.
Yeah.
Very deep plot.
You know, when I first started out, I would say Dragon Ball Z, but that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago for everybody.
For a bit of a shout-out here, there's two more titles I'd like to mention as personal favorites. Not something that I'd really recommend heavily to other people, but I really enjoyed Elf Princess Rain, very wacky, zany sort of comedy. I really enjoyed that one. Sadly, there was only two episodes ever produced. Kind of bums you out if you watch it, and you know this when you start watching it, it's like, but there must be more! And also Sailor Moon. That's the anime that really got me into anime. I've been watching anime since 95. It's going to be 10 years next year that I've been readily watching anime. And Dragon Ball, the original, and Sailor Moon were the first anime that I watched because those were on television, though I'd seen stuff in the past that I wasn't aware that it was anime. And then I rented from my local Blockbuster, which seemed to be much better back in 95, Vampire Hunter D, Fatal Fury, and these sort of films really sealed the deal on me loving anime, and I've been doing the show ever since because of those.
Yeah.
What really pulled you into anime, DB3?
What really pulled me into anime? I was probably just a mediocre watcher until my good friends, P-Man, Z-Guy, NZ17, said, hey, DB3, we have a club we're trying to start at this school. You want to help? And that club fell through, and then they started the show, and I was listening, and then I started being a co-host, and yeah.
From fan to co-host.
Yeah.
The DB3 story. But yes, it's been a fun ride. Remember when we had that hazing where we spanked you with copies of Dragon Ball Z because there were so many tapes that people just sell on eBay for pennies?
But you know, I still think Z-Guy likes it more than me.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about Z-Guy is he likes the Dragon Ball, so he's like, I'm that much closer to Goku! But, you know, DB3, Z-Guy doesn't care that much for Dragon Ball anymore.
He's really?
Matured over time, and he's looking back at the new episodes of Dragon Ball Z, the now being dubbed GT, and he's like, you know, I don't really know what I ever saw in that show. I guess I just didn't have much going on, and it was kind of like, you know, a show that was there every day. Because let's face it here, people, Dragon Ball Z, and Dragon Ball GT, they're a soap opera for adolescent boys. Really, that's what they are, okay? They're nothing more than this. But they're very good at being that, and that's why it's so incredibly popular. Well, anyways, any more questions from the ASO side of things, DB3?
I can't think of anything.
Any more questions from the audience?
No, I'm good.
Ah, and will you be listening in to future ASO radio episodes?
Oh, absolutely, and I encourage everyone to send you money.
I encourage everybody to send me money, too. But the thing is, they're gonna
listen. You know, I'm looking at this, and this looks like the longest section of fan mail we've ever had.
I don't know. You aren't here for the Anthony Max Hernandez letters.
Well, some of them I was.
Yeah, that's true. But before we go, there's a great compromise that we can be had. You want to listen to new episodes of the show? We want money to go and support the show, new episodes and equipment and such. We've started going and selling the ASO Radio compilation discs. Disc 1 has seasons 1 through 3, Disc 2 has season 4, and the upcoming Disc 3 will have season 5. So those fans that want to go and support the show, go ahead, purchase your volumes, collect them all, because you got to catch them all. And support ASO Radio. You support us, we support you by bringing out the new episodes chock full of trademarked ASO Radio humor. Well, Z-Guy...
Oh,
I'm so awful. I'm so awful! But, you know, we should mention that before we go. Z-Guy, I mean. We want to get Z-Guy on the air for a new section in the hotspot called the Latino Perspective. Huh? Huh? It's Hispanic Perspective?
No, Latin.
Yes, Latino Perspective. What this is going to be is we're going to add it to our cavalcade of hotspot features, and what it will be is he will be broadcasting the latest and greatest for the Spanish-speaking part of the world here on ASO Radio. Yes, for about 5 to 10 minutes, he'll be catching up the Spanish-speaking world on the latest happenings, briefly his opinions on various recent anime, including...
Basically, he's going to do our whole episode in about 5 to 10 minutes.
Yes, distilled down to some Spanish sweetness.
Yes.
For all the chicas out there. But the thing is Ziga is a very busy individual. One might even argue he makes himself too busy. And sadly, it is very difficult for him to find a spot in his schedule for ASO Radio. And that's where the fans come in. For next week's fan mail, we encourage everybody to send in holds and holds of letters encouraging Z-Guy to come onto the show, if nothing else, than to do the Latino perspective.
Oh, we're passing...
Oh! We surpassed the news in length, people. So yeah, send in your fan mail, be it to get Z-Guy on the show or not. Just let us know if we're doing a good job, if we're doing a horrible job, if our voices are too squeaky, or whatever you may have in your box of thoughts, comments, suggestions, and what have you. And remember, once we reach critical mass, once again with ASO Radio, we will be going and having our contest, where people can go and basically win fantastic anime prizes. So be sure to listen in, be sure to send in a fan mail, and be sure to listen to the Hot Spot.
Oh, baby, a hot spot.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the hot spot, and our roulette wheel of features has landed strictly upon the Raven Rant. Oh, yes, I've been waiting to unleash this baby for quite a while. Now, the Raven Rant, as I may have mentioned earlier in the show, is where fans send in fan mail, and they ask me to cover something in the Raven Rant. This week, we have a very interesting letter addressed from audience... who wishes me to do a Raven Rant about a particularly sore spot for many fans. Audience, would you please?
Would you please do a Raven Rant about poor dubs?
Ah, yes.
Oh, boy.
Poor dubs. Oh, DVDs. How many anime have we seen? At least twice the number that we've reviewed on the show.
Yes.
And in that time, oh, I've been subject to... to some very horrid dubs. And it's funny because there's really two sorts of horrid dubs. I'm speaking English dubs because, don't get me wrong, Japanese dubs are not free from horrid dubs. It's just it's much harder for your average anime fan to tell they're horrid because they're busy reading the words at the bottom of the screen. No. We've been subject to some horrible dubs. Some that spring to mind include Shadow Skills, both the original and the remake. And that's just been horrible ones like Kasam the Robot Hunter. Oh, man, T-Man loves to hate that one. Ah, yes, but like I said, there's two sorts of horrible dubs. One, in which the anime itself is very horrible, but the actors take themselves to the utmost level of serenity and seriousness. And so they approach this like it's some heavy Shakespearean drama when it's just some crap some guy pulled out of his ass and animated. The other sort is where it may be an anime of respectable quality, may not be, but either way, the dubbers either aren't taking this very serious, or they're not very good at acting. One of these that comes to mind is Ninja Cadets. It wasn't a very good anime, but the actors, you couldn't find a more flat actor if you went into a carpentry shop and asked for 18 2x4s, put a level on each of them, and selected the one with the slightest variance. That's how flat the acting was. Oh, man, I can't believe how horrible that was. Simply put, they should make a simple decision when they go to dub a production. Now, if they know that it's a horrible or low-budget anime, or that it's simply one that isn't very caliber, they should not attempt to dub this. Give us a DVD with only subtitles in the Japanese dub, and we'll be rather happy. We don't need a horrible dub. The world has enough horrible dubs as it is. As a matter of fact, just think of how much better we would all be off if it wasn't for, let's say, the first bunch of episodes of Dragon Ball. Now, that's some seriously horrible dubbing. I mean, later on, it got a bit better, but people, when Goku talks like this and he's seeking the seven jewels, no, that was that little king guy that had the fox assistant and the ninja chick or whatever. He's like, you must stop this Goku from going and taking all the power. You know, it's sad. You know, I mean, if they know it's horrible and they approach it like it's horrible and make fun of it, that makes it funny because it's so awful that it practically makes it into a comedy. And then the dubs are worth listening to just because of that. But other times, it can be so hard with them giving, yes, and on the fortnight of the 18th week of last year when I met your wife in Istanbul, it was decreed upon me to go and find the seven seals across all of Asia, Africa, and Europe in order to go and bring forth the monument in South America that will go and lead to the destruction of this world, because it has been seen by the prophecy of Zalzira that it is not a world deemed to be fit by the souls of the many. You know, they go on and on and on. It's like what was that? What's the one that people really, really like? Record of Lotus War. It was just like that, right? They're all like, yes, and Asir said to me that I must go with this party for no apparent reason in order to restore peace to the world. Very well, but we do not trust you, but we will let you accompany us, but keep a strong eye on your character. And it's like, what the crap is this? I mean, granted, the whole anime was based out of a session of D&D, and then they did a second one based out of another session of D&D. And it's like, people, Dungeons and Dragons may be fun for you to play, but only people that play Dungeons and Dragons will want to watch your anime, you know? And it's just so ridiculous. But imagine how wonderful it would be if they combined a bad dub from both, where they take it really, really seriously, and they're really horrible at acting, right? Like, they'd be like, oh, yes, we must go and form our rings together to form the seal in order to go and banish the horrible dragon. Yes, the dragon is a threat to us all. We must banish him.
That's so right!
Yes, thank you for mentioning that, sidekick. Now let us all go and combine the magic of the seven stones. Yes, the magic will surely seal this dragon away into the Fortress of Solitude, where he will not be able to threaten us again.
Oh, I missed all the stones back on the table at the end!
Ah, yes. That would be an anime worth reviewing on Acer Radio. The Meeting of the Three Bad Dubs. A Japanese story. but sadly, unfortunately, it seems that either nobody realizes they're doing a bad dub, or they're simply just trying to get it out of the way. Because bad dubs will probably be a scar on the face of anime for many years yet to come. If nothing else, voice actors have most definitely improved as anime has gained a more mainstream following, but there is still the re-releases of the old dubs on DVD, and so we shall not be free of horror dubs, probably ever, but they certainly are dwindling in number.
You know what else is wrong with horror dubs? People watch them and they're like, this is anime?
Yes, nothing worse than a new or promising fan watching a horror dub.
They're like, it just shatters them. They're like, I don't want to watch this crap.
Yeah.
This isn't anything I'd want to watch.
It's kind of like somebody going and they want to go and play they want to get a new game system, we'll say. And it's like, oh yes, here, go and play this wonderful, wonderful game that I got for $5. And it's so horrible. And you're like, well, I'm never going to buy that game system. It's the same with anime. I mean, let's see. Let's say I was your average anime newbie. I had seen, we'll say, Inuyasha on TV. I had thought Teen Titans was actually an anime. And I will go to Blockbuster. Oh, and look what I find. They have an anime section. Oh, well, I'm looking through all the titles. Oh, looky. Well, what do I have here? Oh, look, it's a very depressing anime. This must be very, very good. Look at all. It's like rated not for children, you know, 16 plus. I'll go on. Ooh, it's made by U.S. Manga Corps. I've heard of manga before. Watch it in. My brain is tainted! This angel sanctuary is horrid! And then they never watch anime again. And then somebody's like, hey, did you see the blah blah blah? And he's like, oh no, I won't watch any anime, not unless, you know, it's like on Tech TV or something. Oh, I wanted it from Blockbuster and they're just horrible. I'm glad they ended up. You know, that would be horrible.
Really.
Alright, this is it for this rant and rave. So let's go ahead and say our goodbyes. Well, DB3, you know what time it is. Yes, it's time that we pin down the audience and tickle them until they're in a feverish crying fit due to the inability to laugh.
Boy, I love these times.
I know. No wonder we don't have an audience very often. but in reality, it is not audience tickling time.
Aww.
That comes after the end of the show because we don't want the public to hear the torture. It is time to end of the show, wrap it up. Very sad, but it must happen, simply because if we did not end the show, we'd just talk on and on and on, and then we'd end up filling up the hard drive stage, and you'd just hear us going about our daily lives, and then you'd be like, whoa, I guess he must really like cheese, because he's always eating cheese and buying cheese, and you'd be like, I bet his breath is really stinky from all that lactose. And so, then it would be Ace Radio, the reality show,
And they'd also be listening to the anime instead of being able just to watch it, because we watch so much of it that...
Oh, I don't know, people might encourage us to do the reality show, then they'd be listening to the anime for free, Ace Radio, the reality show, that's one that's not going to be on NBC anytime soon. Although, I'd watch it, just so I could stalk myself. Yes, but it is time to end the show, because after all, if we just recorded on and on, the hard drive would get full, we couldn't mix the show together and put it up for people to listen.
Yeah, true.
Would that be a bad thing?
Yeah, it would.
Oh, okay, just checking. So, anyways, this is episode 59, and this is NV17.
And DV3.
Signing out.